Go ahead and open your Bibles to James chapter 1. We're going to spend some time this evening just continuing on in the text. I think Joe said last Sunday evening we got down to about verse 4. How to deal with a shortage of wisdom. We're going to look and see what Scripture says. Not what Dwight says. You may say that's not what I want to hear tonight. And that's true. We want to see what Scripture says about this idea of wisdom. I think it's interesting to see where James ties this in. And having just talked about some of the things that we talked about last week, and then ties that right in with this idea of wisdom. Periodically, insurance companies will do some studies to find out where some of the most dangerous intersections are within the United States. And they did one of these studies in 1999. And at that time, the most dangerous intersection, and that was the one where the most accidents were recorded in a given year, was at the corner of Beltline Road and Midway Road in Addison, Texas, which is a suburb of the Dallas area. And there were 263 reported crashes at that particular intersection. So that's, what, about five a week or so? So a pretty dangerous intersection. You know, that same study showed that Missouri's number one dangerous intersection for that year was right here in Springfield. Anyone want to hazard a guess? 164 accidents took place at the intersection of Glenstone and Sunshine. Numbers 2 and 3 were in St. Louis, and then number 4 was Glenstone and Kearney. So Glenstone gets hit kind of hard when it comes to accidents, and if you've ever driven on Glenstone, you know there's a lot of traffic there as well. So, but they do these so that they can maybe see exactly where improvements need to take place. And we know some intersections have been improved over the years, even here in our city of Springfield. But you know, I bring that up to sometimes I wonder as we drive down the road of life, if we get to that intersection, we know that that's going to be that intersection of Sunshine and Glenstone where a lot of accidents happen. And we know maybe whichever direction we might turn, or if we fail to yield, or if we follow too close. There's a lot of things in life that can cause an accident. A lot of different forks in the road. And these are the moments where a choice that we make or don't make maybe sets us on a course that could influence even the rest of our journey. The Bible speaks about a divine resource that we can utilize when we come to these intersections in life, and it's called wisdom. And we read about that here in the first part of James. And I want to just take a moment. Let's tie these together. Start with me, if you will, at verse 2 of chapter 1, and then we'll read down through verse 8. We looked at some of this last week, but James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does." You know, James has just finished speaking about various trials we encounter in life. These are the difficulties, the afflictions, the things that come up. You know what they are. You've lived the life. You're living that life. You know when they come up, those intersections. Those trials that we sometimes go through, those hardships, those hard times. And I would summarize the theme of this text like this: life creates a demand for wisdom, which God supplies when the conditions are met. Life creates that demand for wisdom. Is that true? I think we would say yes. We've lived that life. We're living that life. We know we have to make some decisions. And maybe sometimes in the past we haven't made the best decisions. We learn from those as well. But what is wisdom? You know, there are various definitions. Webster defines wisdom as the ability to make the right use of knowledge. One prominent theological dictionary defined wisdom as prudent, considered, experienced, and competent action to master the various problems of life. So we see that there's an aspect of knowledge in wisdom, and sometimes we tie those two together, and should. That's a part of it. Yet I think it goes a step further and goes beyond that. Wisdom involves the practical use of the knowledge to deal with life's issues. And I think a good definition of wisdom would be this. Wisdom is the convergence of knowledge and skill which enables a person to make right choices that honor God. If you think about that, there's a lot going on there. The convergence of knowledge and skill which enables a person to make right choices that honor God. Knowledge and skill, the combined. I may know how to do something all day long, but if I never step out and try to do it, what good is that going to do me? I may have all the answers. Yet life offers some real situations in where those answers can be tested. True wisdom, according to Scripture, begins with God. We see in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And from a biblical perspective, if a person does not know God who created all things, revealed truth, and established absolute values, then he cannot be wise. I think we must realize that. The beginning, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet if we go on, we read that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs tells us that fools hate knowledge. The fool is the person whose choices contradict God's truth. The fool ignores God's value system and makes poor choices. What's James telling us here? I think if we go through here, we can bring out three simple things. And that's what I want to look at this evening. Number one, life creates a demand for wisdom. Life's going to bring that about. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter the turns that you make, there's going to be times that you're going to need wisdom for these decisions. The shortage of wisdom could be highlighted by many different problems: financial problems, family problems, relationship problems, work problems. We don't always have a clear handle on every intersection that we come to in life. Is that true? Think about your life. Think about some of the decisions that have been made in your life. And then looking back, thinking, wow, I really wished I'd have known this when I made that decision. Or I really wished I'd have maybe consulted here before making that decision. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we make a better decision the next time that may come about. It's important to understand, if you don't face up to a lack of wisdom, and we all need to do this and never ask for it, are we that arrogant person that never seeks any counsel? James says, ask for it. That's how you receive it. We know we're going to need it. We know life demands it. Once we realize that, we're ready for step two. God supplies wisdom to those who ask. If you lack wisdom, ask God. What did we read there? Anyone who lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Wow. Someone asks me something, I'll probably say, well, here's what I would think, because look what you did. You messed up. You don't want to do that again. There's some fault there. And typically that's the human answer, is it not? We have to guard against that. But if we look at that verse, that should be one that would just stick out. If any lacks wisdom, he asks God, who gives generously without finding fault. God is the source of wisdom. We talked about that earlier. Remember our discussion of Proverbs. Wisdom is the divine gift. You don't get it by living a long life or experiencing many different things. It comes from God. Now that long life should help add to that wisdom, yes. Notice just a sampling of some of the wise words that we find in Proverbs. We've talked about that earlier. Proverbs 3 and verse 27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 5 and 15, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Proverbs 9 and verse 8, do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Proverbs 11, 14, for lack of guidance a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Proverbs 11 and verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Proverbs 15 and verse 17, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. You can go through there and just pick out verses and think, wow, look at this. Time and time and time again, do we ask for that wisdom? Do we seek that wisdom? Do we expect God to give? God will give that. He'll give generously. He's not stingy with His gift. He'll give without finding fault. You know, the word means without reproach or insult. God will not insult you and make you feel an inch tall for coming and asking for wisdom. Have you ever been in that situation where you dreaded asking someone for something because of all the grief you had to go through to get it? You knew they were going to say something like, okay, I'll give this to you, but if you weren't such a loser, I wouldn't have to. You know, have we dreaded that conversation? God is not like that when we ask for wisdom. Remember God's attitude toward giving or toward gift giving? He explained it there in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. He pointed out that a good parent never insults the child who comes asking bread by giving him a stone. He doesn't give him a snake if he asks for fish. So if you who are evil can give good gifts to your kids when they ask, how much more will God give to us good gifts when we ask Him generously without finding fault? Do you need some wisdom today? Ask. Ask. And then once again, ask. God won't make fun of that. He won't insult us. He's not looking around and saying, look at this person. They've come to me so many times asking, and yet here they are again. It says, ask and I'll give generously without finding fault. And we need to realize, and another thing I think that's pointed out here, wisdom is supplied to those who ask in faith. We must ask in faith, not doubt. We must not doubt. The word means to dispute with oneself. It's a kind of, he loves me, he loves me not, that goes in the heart. The doubter is like the wave in the sea being tossed around by the wind, unstable, insecure. The doubter should not expect to receive anything from God. The doubter is a double-minded person, unstable in all that he does. James points out clearly. He says, come with faith. And then he gives that warning to the doubter. He says there in verse 7, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all he does. Do we have faith when we ask? How do we receive what we ask? And then we go with the faith that it takes to receive what God has promised. I think the wisdom that we need has three distinct characteristics. Number one, it's practical. The wisdom from God relates to life even during the most trying times. It's not a wisdom isolated from suffering and trials. This wisdom is the tool by which trials are overcome. An intelligent person may have profound ideas, but a wise person puts those profound ideas into practice. And there lies the difference. What are we putting into practice? It is practical. We can use it. Number two, it's divine. God's wisdom goes beyond common sense. Common sense does not lead us to choose joy in the middle of trials. We'd look back at the earlier verses and say, now that's not common sense. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Does that sound like common sense? No. Sounds like divine wisdom, does it not? If we ask, we have to be ready to receive. If we ask, we have to be ready to take that turn. And then it's Christ-like. Asking for wisdom is ultimately asking to be
like Christ. The Bible identifies Christ as the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. I like the words of Abraham Lincoln, who said, "I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Have you had days like that? My wisdom and everything about me seemed insufficient. I could do no more. Nowhere else to turn. And you know, so many times that's the point we get to before we sometimes go to our knees, is it not? God wants that relationship with us where we come to Him each and every day. That's how we learn. That's how we gain wisdom, through asking and seeking through His Word. Can you identify with those words? Do you face a problem which has exhausted your best efforts to solve? Where are you this evening in your life? There is hope. And I think that's what James points out. That's something that we can cling to. That's something we can hold on to. Consider it joy when you go through those trials. Those trials aren't going to last forever. We're going to make it to the other side. We're going to get through. We're going to hang on. I'm going to give you the wisdom to do that very thing. If you will ask me, not doubting, come to me in faith, that I will do that. God said, that's the plan I have. We don't have to do this on our own. We don't have to get through this life on our own. And so often, we strive to do that very thing. How to deal with a shortage of wisdom? We all have to deal with that, do we not? Each and every one of us, each and every day of our lives, are dealing with that very thing. We learn each day. We gain just a little bit each day. Hopefully we grow each day. And that's all that we're striving to do here on this earth. You may be dealing with something tonight that we can help you with in prayer. We'd love to take that before the Father. One of our shepherds will pray for you tonight. Maybe you're at that intersection and you're just not sure which turn you're going to make. Turn that over to God. Take that to Him tonight in prayer. Many of you have made that important decision to put on Christ through baptism. As I look around this audience tonight, I know your situation. I know that we have many Christians here tonight, baptized believers. But that's only the beginning of the journey. Sometimes the journey gets tough. Sometimes we feel like we don't know very much, and we really don't. We're learning each and every day. James says, continue in that path. If we can assist you in any way tonight, won't you come as together we stand and sing.